want them to do that to us, and we're not going to repeat that sin by judging an entire race or an entire movement because of the antics or the activities of one or two, or even 50 or 60%. Because in this house, we've got some fearless white people.
Yes.
We've got some fearless white people. My own white companion was spit on with our black son, and she's been attempted to be driven off the road, and I suppose she's a typical prototype of blondness. She's a blonde, and certainly she has a black heart. Peace. Peace. See, black heart's good here. We're changing some of that. That's why someone the other day heard us singing the song, "What can make us black, our black to glow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I said, "Well, I never heard it that way." Well, we're changing it because black isn't bad, darling. Black is beautiful. See, the old racist church, they want to talk about white as snow. Well, we want our black to glow. It's all right to be white as snow if you want to be. We want our black to glow. So we change a little words like that because we've got to re-educate. And there's been a lot of this fear of darkness back to primitive man that has caused black bad, dark, evil. Black, this type of imagery of black being bad and white being good, we've got to change that around because we found black to be very, very good and very, very beautiful. And we have found, as I say, one after another of our white people who have stood the test, who have been threatened, who have been harmed, and they've not backed off. The backbone of this temple through the stormy years before some of you knew of us, before some of you in the Bay knew of our temple, you didn't know, you'd have been there. Many black people would have been there if they'd known. But some of the backbone were whites through those stormy years. We never would have been a people's temple if white people hadn't agreed with this Indian sitting here and backed him up in his ideals. And as you know, I've never watered it down for anyone. I preached integration and intermarriage back when the law was against it. I married couples when the law was against it back in the East and the South. I performed weddings when the law said you could not do so. So don't talk to me about you being on the front lines of revolution. Some of you people don't know what a revolution is. You don't know what it is to stand when the trials are on. We took those stands 25 years ago. 25 years ago. And I said, I married people that far back, across racial lines, and they could have thrown me in jail for it, and tried, and they didn't get it done. And they tried to throw me in jail last week because of brotherhood. And I'll always be on the side of the right question. When I'm not in jail now, and I'm having an interview this week, going to Los Angeles, the commander of the police has asked to have a special interview with me. I was in his jail 2 weeks ago. Now he wants an interview with me. Beautiful. Peace. We were in that jail for one good reason. One lady went down and told the assistant mayor, didn't tell all the story. He got the story straight, but went down and said, Reverend Jones was in jail. So good to be gossips like that. The Baptist lady she just couldn't run down there fast enough to say Reverend Jones was in jail. She didn't tell why Reverend Jones was in jail. She didn't tell that our black sister there was kicked into an ambulance against her will by two white racist ambulance attendants. And when we talked to them, she called us, told us, they told us to get our dirty, whatever they said, MF nigger hands off of the ambulance. We hadn't even raised a finger of violence. And so we kept insisting that she had a right to get off that ambulance. And she had had a stroke, and they made her sit up. And so we would rather go to jail than see someone treated like that. Yeah. And indeed, they came and throwed us in jail, but we got the lady off the ambulance anyway. This was not here. In this city, we've had very, very good cooperation with law enforcement. Very beautiful cooperation. But we're going to get it down there, or at least I think they want it, because they let us go. They didn't even arrest me formally when they found out I wouldn't leave. I said, they put me in the jail cell, and I said, well, you've not been in jail before, have you? And I said, no, never been arrested. Never had an altercation with a cop before. Not a verbal exchange. They said, well, you can get out for $675 or whatever it was. I said, I don't want out. They said, the man said, one of them said, well, I've had a lot of people trying to get out of here, but I've had no one ever wanted to stay in. And I said, well, I have to stay here because I don't believe in people being able to buy themselves out with a bail. I don't believe that people should be able to buy freedom with money. I think that everyone should be given a right to go out on their own recognizance or stay in the jail. It shouldn't have anything to do with how much money you have. So I said, I'm staying. So tell my church people, and they did. They went and told you that I was staying. Well, I guess they decided they didn't want me, because 3 minutes later they decided to let me go, and they never picked me up again later. I know I shook them up, because it wasn't the nicest little room in the world. Cement floor, and a lot of there was some blood laying on the floor. Somebody had come to some difficulty there on the floor. I just wrapped up my old coat under my head and laid down. And he said, that one of them said, that fool's in there sleeping. I heard him. He didn't know I was listening to him, but I heard him say, that fool's in there sleeping. And I would have, too. I'd have had a good long rest, because it's hard work out here fighting for freedom. So if I get to sit in jail and let you do some of the work for a while, it'd be all right. But I wouldn't stay there unless it's meant to be, and it wasn't meant to be, because I didn't do anything to get out. I didn't try to get out. They just let me out. So I'm out until somebody else kicks a black woman, and I'll be back in again. You know what I... What I don't understand is that I'm looking at some of you people, and you never clap, you never smile. What are you here for? I'd like to know what in the hell you're here for tonight. You know, you've got a right to be where you want to be, and we got a right to be where we want to be. You've got a right to evaluate us, analyze us, and make any kind of conclusions. It oughtn't to take more than 5-10 minutes to do that. Then after that, you ought to either get friendly or leave us. I've had the best analyze me, and I've had the worst, and I'm not interested in any kind of appraisal. I'm not interested in any critical judgment. Someone came and said they wanted to do a nice story. I said, they didn't want a nice story, thank you. So when we want a story, we'll let you know. Or when we want an evaluation, we'll let you know. In the meantime, we like each other. If you don't like us, don't bother us. If you do like us, we'll fight for you. We'll make you the best friendship you'd ever had. We'll stand by you thick and thin. We take care of our people when they're out of work. We take care of them through the golden years in the most beautiful senior citizen homes you ever saw in your life. We educate our own, 109 under scholarship right now by this church. What have we done? When our brothers got into difficulty over civil rights, we bailed them out. I was the only one who wouldn't take bail. They wouldn't have either if I'd asked them. But they had to get back their jobs, so we took over that civil rights case. We put up the bail. Now, there's no place you're going to find friends like this on earth. But one thing there's one little rule we have, and I think we ought to put it on the wall. If you stay in our service, at least smile or get on the road. We find that usually people who sit off critically anyway are just trying to find a means to cop out from group responsibility. They make all these, they look for little things. The fact that I've adopted 8 children of all races, that doesn't mean anything. The fact that we've built an orphanage that fed 200 starving babies that were literally starving to death. That doesn't mean anything. But they'll find one little thing, kind of clothes I wear, or some style I have, or aggression that comes out in my speech. You're darn lucky that my aggression doesn't come from some other place than my speech. You see, when people have been as nasty to your friends as they have been to mine, I've seen the most horrible kinds of things. 2 weeks ago, it took a lot of love to forget that. I don't pretend to look easily on violence. Some people say they never feel any violence. I think they're a liar. I don't think there's ever been a soul on earth that didn't feel violence. I think it's a matter of whether you control that violence or not. But as far as feeling it, I know Dr. Martin Luther King told me how he felt. Because when I was the government commissioner, he sat right on the platform with me and we were speakers in a great rally. And he told me how he felt deep in his soul. He felt like whipping, he said, so many honky asses that he wouldn't be able to count them. But he didn't. He acted peacefully because he knew that that was the best way you could serve it, the cause. But you do feel it. But I think that there are no group that has been able to control it as much as in 2 weeks we've been able to put down that horrible hate. And it was awful. Our nurse sitting here, she's back now. She had a ruptured spleen. Doctor, their blood, her heart's just failed on her. We had her on a bus in different hospital, just sent her out. I had to keep her alive by my own power. Because her blood pressure fell, her pulse fell, and they were going to operate her. And then they said something miraculously happened. Well, we're not credible kind of, we're not the incredible types. We believe after it's proven to us, and it's been proven to us so many times that there's some kind of energy that works in this house, you name it whatever you will, that does these kind of miracles. But here, no one was sacred. She gets injured. My son tries to protect Sister Jones, and she was taken away in handcuffs the first time in her life because she just said, why are you treating these people this way? That's all she said. Why are you treating? Boom, off to jail she went. And then they hit my child, 12-year-old child, for saying, don't take my mother. It's hard to forget some of that stuff. Now, you know it is. It sticks with you. And we've had it, all of us have had it so many times over and over and over and over again. And I've never yet used any violence to anyone, and nor will I, only to protect my children. If you come to hurt any of my children, then you'll have to kill me. That is a covenant I make. Don't try to hurt my children. I know that there are some who say that if they come to hurt your children, you're supposed to let them. They call themselves the school of nonviolence in the absolute degree. They say even if they come to rape your wife, let them. Or to harm your children, let them. Well, I'm not going to try to judge people who talk that way. But I think it could be an easy way to escape from responsibility. No, if you come to hurt my children, and that doesn't mean just the 8 that I've adopted, that means any of them. If you try to hurt one of them, you'll have to kill me. Now, I'm not saying what I'll do, but that's pretty graphically plain, I would say. If you have to kill me, that means I'm not going to stand there and pray for you. But before we would have a bloodbath with anyone, we don't want wars. If we see dictatorship creeping up, a racist society, we see apartheid, racist separation, and it's quite evidently in the wind, according to sociologist Clark and many others. We already have two societies, one free, one enslaved. We've made our plans for sanctuary. We're not just talking, we've made our plans. You saw this building before we took on it, it was a hog pen. We've made it into a beautiful living place. Every facility is livable, rooms here, apartments. It's all nice. And you see that every place we've gone, we take care of our facilities, and we provide for our people. And we're also providing in Operation Hope a way of escape if trial comes. We don't want to stay here in a bloodbath because there's nothing but cowards running loose in this country. Cowards. They've shown it on too many cases. When Miss Davis had her trial, $2,000 in all of America from People's Temple. and $100,000 from the man in Fresno, and he's practically about to lose body and soul. His wife has been to the point of even though so despaired of considering her life, taking her life. Well, we wouldn't let her down. We never knew them, but we felt a responsibility to get in there, to look after people who care for others, and we did. And we're going to look after people who care for others. But we've seen too many showdowns, and nobody cared. We are gentle, kindly people that have never hurt a fly and taken in every person that's ever been brought to us. Every older person, every younger person, every little animal even. And on September 16th, when the paper told all those lies, people forgot us. Except the John Birch Society head, white man, and the white lady Republican. Liberals and socialists and all of them forgot us. Looking after their own hide. Well, I'm glad we went through it. It taught us some lessons. I'm glad we learned the lessons we've learned, aren't you? Yeah. Don't talk to me about marching off to any revolution, though. Mm-mm. Nobody interested in any revolution. I looked down here and I watched this professor at Stanford, wasn't it? Bruce Franklin. And I told what he was headed for and his misguided approach to life, and he had a visionary idealism. He's going to change the world with his gun. They got somebody out, didn't they? Somebody out they defended someone that was an escapee from brutality who'd escaped from the prison system. You remember that just a while ago? They protected him, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
All the way across to Arizona. Now, what did he do? Turned them all in. Turned every blessed one of them in. Isn't that nice? Well, in a way, I wouldn't mind being in their shoes. I'm like Thoreau and with Emerson. I see so many good people in jail, I feel my conscience is pained by being on the outside. But I don't want you inside unless it's for a good cause. And I don't want you in there if it's not going to do any good. So I am, as of this date forward, an anti-communist. No clapping. That's my posture. Don't want any communist here. I asked you people to come if you wanted to build a better world, and you didn't even have time to talk to us. Now I want nothing to do with you for my people's sake. I am disassociating with any and all communist. The person that turned in this church and met with evil woman who's a racist, fascist, in the worst sense, Mrs. Johnson in Indianapolis. She's a fascist, evil, Ku Klux Klan. Who met with her? John Bacharach, that's over in the YMCA, who is a trade union, an old-time communist. An avowed communist. And he said he'd do anything to get us down, to destroy us, because his girlfriend wanted to stay here and build brotherhood instead of go and do what he wanted to do. That communist. I've had a bad trip with communists lately. No more than I have with fascists, certainly. But I want nothing to do with any of you ismatics. You go out and do your own revolution. I see some of your cocktail revolutions. I see you driving down your Rolls Royces and your revolutions. I see the one in the town here, one of the ministers is always talking revolution. I see how well healed he is. When we came to one to use his facility, he says, I'm doing my own thing. He's old enough to act like he's got some sense and had two miniskirted girls, one of them on his knee. He said, you do your thing, we'll do your thing. We said, we want to save money. We don't want to build another church. We wouldn't have done this if we hadn't been able to put apartments and housing in it. So we could take that money and use it at the time for Indians on Alcatraz, or blacks to give them supplies and food and things they needed in the ghetto. He says, you do your thing, we do our thing. Well, he can do. That's just about the way he said it, Jack said. He was there. So we're letting him do his thing, and we are going to do our thing, and we don't want nothing to do with his thing. I'm spending a lot of time with this tonight, but I want it quite clear. No more gung-ho for Angela. I mean, no more posters. I want them down everywhere. I want nothing more to do with this situation. As I say, to me, it's grievous. And if anyone else wants to challenge me, as the sister did kindly on the floor, you do it now. Otherwise, I don't want to see a picture of her anywhere. Because when you forget your friend, a friend like that, and their little children even suffered for you, and you don't even look to see how they're doing, forget it, honey. Just forget it. Just forget it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you can think of some excuse, you do it, because I'd like to hear your point of view. But otherwise, I don't want to hear the name of her personality challenged here as a great leader anymore. I want no more to do with it. If she's being hurt, I'll help her just as I would help any human being that's being hurt. All right, in the meantime, we've got the report of the finances. He just dropped the slip here, and it's very, very sad. Numbers of things we have to do. For our older people, we do have to have an elevator, because for housing and otherwise, we've got to have an elevator down there, and it's got to be put in. It's $15,000, and we want it done. A 10-capacity elevator. We've got to get this roofing, and we've got to continue with Operation Hope. You know what Operation Hope is? You do. Well, if you don't, ask your neighbor. You don't see me in any Rolls Royce. You see me in old used choir robes. I think this is probably a baptismal robe. People give me their choir robes. By the way, I need some more of them. If you got out of that churchified state that you were in and you want to share your choir robe, will you bring it? Anybody got a good choir robe? You want to save it for a day when you want to go back there, huh? Huh. Anybody got a choir robe they'll let old man Jones have while he helps to build a great society? Thank you. Because we got a good one going here. It may be internalized a little bit. It may be isolated a little bit. Some minister was saying to one of our young people, who's one of our children's father's a bishop of a large denomination. We'll say that. That's his title. Big denomination. He said, well, some of us have chosen to live inside the society and work, and others have chosen, like People's Temple, to get outside of it. Now, isn't that nice? He never gave a dollar to Angela. He never gave a dollar to any political prisoner. But we're supposed to be living outside the society, and he's inside it. Like he's doing a big thing, driving around in his fancy clothes, and he's 55 years of age or whatever, and he's got hair. He looks like he's wanting to wear long hair like the 20-year-olds. He's swinging bishop, but he's inside the society, suffering. He's suffering inside the society. Suffering bad inside the society. I looked up the choir because one of the members is his father's, he's a father of one of our members in the choir. She could have had that kind of a life. White society, elite. But she chose to be down here with us. So don't talk to me about white people. Two of our white women could have been society-minded if they wanted to, with a father that had this big office in the largest denomination in America. But they chose to be here at People's Temple. But he was writing them a letter, you know, about how he's suffering inside the society. Now, it may be that we don't choose to fellowship in outside. We don't like all those lodges and clubs that you patronize. And we do have a close-knit fellowship. We have a bang of a time at Christmas and New Year's Day. And we do have nice homes where we take care of our people. But we're not driving around Rolls Royces. We'd rather have nice homes and some food back in our pantry. We got some. We can put some meat on your ribs, honey, when the time comes. We know you can't eat a Rolls Royce. No way in the world you're going to eat a Rolls Royce, nor can you eat diamonds. That's why we don't like diamonds, and neither do we like diamonds because the racist state of Africa, Union of South Africa, is kept in power by the diamond market. So our preacher just wears clothes that don't look as good as your preacher, but your preacher never done as much for you as this church has done for its people in 2 weeks. The bureaus came to us today at the children's home. Well, I was there on 40 acres where we have our children's home, and said, the State Bureau wants you to form two special homes. I'm not going to tell you which bureau, because I know some of you devils. I'm going to get the homes before I tell you, because I know you devils. You'd be surprised how wicked some people are. It shows God good. Truth has to be with us, or we wouldn't have lasted, because the moment we tell anything we're going to do, they go out and they start stirring up trouble. Gossips. They just sit in here and bend their ear. That's why until formerly, I've never let anybody die. But you saw the last 2 weeks what happened. Haven't you?
Yes.
You saw what smart alecks got before your eyes. And I mean, don't come in here with this smart aleck attitude and think you're going to do cruel things to people, because this man's a good man. But if you start messing with his children, he's got a few secret whammies. Everyone gets quiet. Say, people should come to truth through goodness. They should, but if they don't, I got two secret whammies. It's all about goodness and appeal and sweetness, as I said. Nothing in the world reached some people except a little fear. What is it said? The old gospel said, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We got our own interpretation of that. We got two whammies. Well, that's fear. And it's a low plane. But we mean for you to quit trying to hurt these people. If you do it, you can see the white brother that was here that died before our face. You saw what happened to him. His racism, what he was trying to do to our black associate, what he was trying to do in the meeting. You saw his smart aleckness, and you saw what happened to him.
Yeah.
Starting to belch blood. You saw how quick he repented. All my sweet talk never got through to him. I've sweet talked him for 10 years and didn't get through to him. Say, well, it's not right to do that. If you've got somebody in there that's risking the life of 20 people, it's your duty to keep them under control. That's a moral duty to keep them under control. So I want to tell you that we've been approached by an agency asking us for two licensed homes, and the agency will guarantee whether the beds are filled. They are so impressed with our care that they will guarantee that the beds will be paid for by this agency, whether they're filled or not. So any of you that are interested in running a kind of a custodial home, let us know. The church will, some of us would put up our money, I'm sure, to advance you, to get us, that's how we look after each other. We believe the Jewish people have done something with their state of Israel. They've done something. They've looked after each other. We're going to look after us. We're building the people's temple, Israel. You've heard of white Jews? Well, we got mongrel Jews. And I tell you, when you look at that children's home, I was so thrilled with our custodial people, that precious couple that came from Los Angeles, what they have done. He was no more equipped to run a farm than I am to breed flies. But not to take much genius to breed flies. But anyway, that the everything beautified, curtains and all the little things that make children living so gracious, warmth. Paints, the kind of colors that would be nice in their rooms. It was a drab old place before. And the gates and the fencing and the landscapes and places for the animals. Everything, it just made my heart feel good to look at that children's home today. You can be proud. They're working hard on it. You ought to take a tour through it. But that takes money, child. Those payments come every month. They don't grow on a tree. Nobody. I made a notation the other day, a scribble about something about damn money not growing on trees, and Brother Purefoy thought it was meant for him. It never was meant for him, but he smiled at me today, so that must have been, that took a lot of grace. He's in one of our contractors who's moved into the family. But money sure don't grow on trees. It does not. So who'll help us with a special pledge tonight? $100 or above before we get into the healing service. $100. Anyone that'll give us $100 or above? Didn't you? some churches advertise in newspapers. We feel we'd like to put our money for some good cause. And as I said we'd get some newspaper coverage, and we did. And if you'd have bought it, it'd have cost you $6,000. And what you advertise about yourself is not nearly so much good as what somebody else tells about you. And we didn't do it for advertisement. We do it because we believe in the First Amendment. That's why we did it, and that's why we shall continue to champion such purposes. But it takes money to be spent out to be able to have money. You know what's next on the agenda? Come on, folks, going to have to shell loose. We bought the building right across from the supermarket in Redwood Valley. Three apartments, and we're going to there's a newspaper going to be in there that's going to rent our spaces. And they're going to print the news objectively. And we're going to have a warehouse for our buses. And we've already bought it. Money's not there, but we'll pay for it. People are wanting us to go under. We're not going to go under. The only thing that ever would have put us under was the fact that Father had such grace that he even associate with communists if they were in trouble. Now I'm not associating with them. Quiet. I said, I'm not. I love you too much. I don't want nothing to do with them. Well, nothing to do with anybody that doesn't do any better than what I've seen out of this communist bunch. So I don't mind associating with anybody. I said the quickest way to get me into confrontation sometimes would be the best route for me. But I'm not going to associate with anything that will cause you difficulty. So wake up now. We've got to purchase that place. You know that what will help us? A newspaper that will print the truth. Not a newspaper that will be biased towards us, but one that will print the truth. Because if they preach the truth, we're always going to come out all right. If you're interested in doing some of these things in this Federal Credit Union, People's Temple Federal Credit Union, it could give opportunities, I say, to increase people who could work in apostolic living styles. We hope you'll let us know. We've got good typists. What else? What do we need, Attorney Shaken? Do we need any special kind of helpers? We need people who can write, too. If you want to do articles for the newspaper, they'll be glad to listen to your contributions. We need a bookkeeper. Anybody a bookkeeper in the house? It's a low assembly tonight. Anybody a bookkeeper? There's one over there. Go to right across there. She's right across from you, Jean. On the end of the aisle. Talk to her. See what we can see if her qualifications meet our needs and vice versa. Here's sister down here is a bookkeeper. She's been a good faith. You manage a credit union. Aha, 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 aha. He wants to see you right now. The attorney just ran out of his seat when you said that.
That's great. It's good. It's good.
Oh, yeah, you folks thought we were going to get dirtied by the communist name. Now, we'll never throw off anything until we can conscientiously do it. Now we can conscientiously do it. Nothing going to bother us from now on. That's the only problem we had was that monkey on our back. Even though we weren't one, we had that to deal with every time we turned around. So we've got to pay for that building, and we've got to keep moving on. That's half of Redwood Valley. That's half of the shopping center we've got. First thing you know, Redwood Valley will be us. In it is a laundromat, beauty salon, been a restaurant there formerly. They're going to be turning it into a the newspaper facilities. And we have three apartments. We didn't need to get them for our people. They're already rented to our people. So they'll be paying their rent to the People's Temple now. They're lovely apartments, beautiful apartments. And They were all rented by black people. All three apartments are rented by black people, as I recall, aren't they? I don't ever pay attention to race. Aren't all three of those apartments rented by black families? Right in the heart of what one time blacks were not supposed to stay overnight. And all the people that live in Redwood Valley downtown area now are black. It's wonderful. Now, dollars for the claps. Who'll give us some $100 pledges or gifts tonight? We're not interested in that, but he might still be. We might do one. The temple might put out a little sheet on him ourselves. We might even be doing
two more
it.
Lives. Spirit. God. I love you. I love you. It's always my custom every Friday night, Saturday night, to shake your hand, but tonight I shan't. I'm going to catch the bus. I shake everyone's hand at the bottom of the stairs. Tonight you make important the bottom of the stairs to get your anointed cloth, the blue. It represents a very specific protection, peace. Kiss your neighbor, hug them, because I'd like to hug each of you.